The Weekly Connect.
The Weekly Connect.
On RNIB Connect Radio.
This week we're talking about transport. Now, if you are one who uses passenger assistance when you go on a train or you go on a plane, then this is the kind of conversation you might want to get yourself involved in over the next couple of weeks. We're going to be continuing this discussion on transport and really getting into the heart of what are the problems, the issues and the good things about travelling around the UK by bus, taxi, train or plane. Well, joining us this week to talk about transport and getting around from A to B successfully, or not successfully, as the case may be, are three prominent ladies who all have views on this. We've got Stacey Rowe, we've got Sarah Ledbetter, and we've got Alex Mackie on the line. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
So we're talking this week about transport and the whole issue of getting around from A to B. And it's a really interesting topic, I guess, because a lot of us as blind or partially sighted people do have mixed feelings, mixed emotions and mixed experiences of getting around. And we thought we'd talk about that first up this week on The Weekly Connect. Stacey Rowe, I'll come to you first. Tell me your experience of getting around and what the good, the bad and the ugly of transport is for you.
Thank you, Stephen. So my experience is quite varied, and I would say it's changed an awful lot. So if I think back even just, you know, 10, 15 years ago, there were no talking buses. There wasn't as much support in terms of staff at stations. So it's quite incredible now. And I used to live in Scotland, and I now live in London, and we have a very helpful service, as a lot of people will know, where, you know, you can turn up and just request assistance, and they'll show you to, you know, your tube. They'll meet you at the other end. And it's definitely changed my life in terms of independence. And I've heard that from a lot of people. I've traveled a lot in my life, and I've never seen a system as good as the one in the UK. It's really quite spectacular in what it can offer. Not 100% perfect, I must say. When I first arrived in London, I was actually banned from using Victoria Station indefinitely by a very grumpy man, because there was overcrowding to get onto the underground. And he said, absolutely not am I helping a VIP, you know, visually impaired person.
Wow.
And I said, well, you can't refuse me. I need to get to, I think I was going to, you know, Green Park or something. And he said, well, you have to find another way. You can't use the tube. And I was polite about it, but I was quite firm that was, you know, discrimination and it wasn't acceptable. And we had a massive argument about it. And he was very, very nasty. And he said, you know, that's it. I'm going to ensure that you're never allowed in this station again, which obviously it's not policeable. And, you know, he asked for my name, which I didn't give because he was going to ban me from the station. I've managed to talk to TfL, and they had a word with him about that.
So you were actually labelled as, you know, you are a VIP person, a visually impaired person, and, you know, as such, I don't want anything to do with you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was very much, we do not have the time for you to support you when we've got all of this going on. And it was rush hour. And how dare you travel at rush hour when you know you need support? It was very unpleasant. And I was very new to London, so it was really upsetting at the time, because I thought, oh, wow, I've just moved here. Is this what it's like? And it's not like that. It's absolutely not. But it was really quite upsetting at the time, that incident.
Okay. Alex Mackie is on the line. Alex, whereabouts in the country are you, first off? And have you had similar experiences or better experiences than Stacey Rowe?
Well, I'm from Durham. It's a very small city. But in actual fact, I used to call it a village. It's that small. So, to be honest, I actually think train travel is a lot easier than the bus. Mm-hmm. mainly because in Durham, we don't really have talking buses. We do have some talking buses, but we don't have a lot of them. But to be fair to them, when we don't have any talks on, and even if we do, the bus drivers are absolutely fabulous at shouting down the bus saying, you stop, see your pet. So it's been really lovely with the buses. With the train travel, I find that really shocking and interesting. But since I've gone and had a speaking session with a group of people that are trying to make a new app called Access-Me or something like that, you know, I met a guy in a wheelchair, and he was very dead against disabled people just turning up and getting train travel. And the main reason why he was really annoyed was because he says, the problem is that because of those who don't actually bother to ask for help, the ones who do bother to ask for help and book never actually get the help. Or alternatively, they get on the train and they find that they don't have the room for the wheelchair because there's some of the person sitting there or standing there with like their guide dog or a pair of crutches or a broken leg. And he just got a bit frustrated about that and he felt that it was a bit annoying. And the other thing that I find about rail staff, and I know that most blind people, when I say this, will hate me for it, but I think it's dead true. I think that in actual fact, you can travel from wherever you are to another, from A to B really easily. And in some cases that I know of, people haven't actually bought tickets. And they've just booked the rail assist, because you can book the rail assist separately to booking the ticket. And the rail assist, because they think you're a disabled person and therefore will never ever steal from you and that you're all angels, never bother to look or check. So you can get from A to B without even paying.
There's some great experiences of what I think we could term presumed innocence, perhaps with blind and partially sighted people, possibly disabled people generally. Sarah Ledbetter's also with us. What's your view on all of this?
Hello, I'm from Leicestershire. I actually live in a small village called Narborough. And no, they don't all think disabled people are angels, because they're always double-checking me in the disability part of the train, so I always have to pay. Because my travel pass doesn't actually work in the county, but people in the city can still use it. We've got no order description on the buses. Now and again it does work that the drivers do remember to say, it's your stop. Before now, they've said it's your stop and let me off the bus at completely the wrong stop. Luckily, a nice lady came along and took me to the stop where my friend was waiting for me. And luckily, I wasn't late for my hospital appointment. I need a ramp to get on the train because it's a big gap. And we have to rely on cross-country trains guards, which majority of the time they're very nice and will put it down. But sometimes I have a difficulty getting on the train. The assistance is very good. I always book my assistance, but sometimes I don't have the room for other people as well, sort of thing. But the staff are very helpful. They get me on and off the train, and I travel majority of the time by train, but it's quicker to get where I want to get to, and there's more room for my guide dog as well.
I just thought maybe I should profess my innocence in the fact that I have paid for my tickets most of the time. And in fact, all of the time. So just in case,
they normally do smile at me and think, oh, poor person, the guide dog. But I did get to my stop the other day and I say, no, I don't want to owe it you, I want to pay. But majority of the time we do have friendly assistance, but sometimes the staff are very grumpy and don't want to put the ramp down and don't want to give the right assistance on the train travel.
Okay, but I don't think we should be knocking assistance too much, guys, do you think? Because, let's be honest about it, it's a great job that everybody does. And, you know, we will always find in life people who are just a bit grumpy because they've had a bad day. I mean, Stacey, you've had a particularly bad example of that.
I absolutely agree with you. I would not knock the assistance at all. I'm probably its biggest fan. I couldn't do most of what I do without that assistance being there. I couldn't get around London. It's crucial for me working, for me travelling, for me doing everything. And more than nine times out of ten, they're fantastic. And they're so really, really well trained. They're great guiding. And they're also just really welcoming and friendly. It's a great thing. And I've had some lovely, nights out where I've missed the last train and they've been so supportive and helpful. Or I remember once I was coming back from a dance class and one of them gave me a little tango lesson on the platform, and you can get some really good tickets, as they would say, and they're such fun, and they can actually make your day much better if you're having a bad day and you meet a really friendly member of train staff. It can really help you. It's a really good, really great thing.
But one thing that comes through from everything that you've all said is that on average, assistance is okay. We have our daily issues with it, perhaps. But buses in particular seem to be a real issue. That is a common thread, I think, that, you know, in London, for example, there are talking buses. There are some in some areas, but it's in other areas there's nothing at all. So clearly there's some disparity there.
Yeah, there definitely is, because say it would really make, there's only one bus in Leicestershire that actually has got talking audio description on it, and it really would be helpful if it had got the talking description on it to let me know where I am, because I feel I have to ask the other passengers on the bus, or the bus driver is busy, is he going to remember to tell me? And you don't really want to be dropped off in a place you don't really know at all.
I do want to say, although I have said that bus travel is harder than train travel, assistance really does impress me, particularly when I go in an aeroplane. And I have been previously in an aeroplane without my guide dog, I must confess. But aeroplane staff in assistance from one country to another, like Spain or Italy or France, has impressed me no end. They know who you are. They know where you need to go. They know which cases are yours. I mean, that's pretty damn clever, really. So, you know, probably, I just wanted to make a point just to make sure that, you know, people like rail assists aren't taken the mick out of. Because I think it's quite ungrateful of us to take, you know, the travel, take the assistance without paying for it, you know. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is that I'd like to say is that we are dealing with the taxi issue and guide dogs at the moment really, really well. And I feel that at some stage, especially with the particular law that we've got here at the moment, that problem should soon stop, really.
Okay, so we've talked about buses and trains, and you've also mentioned planes, but now you're talking about taxis, which is the natural place to go. A lot of blind people, but we do use taxis, probably more than we maybe want to, just because sometimes it's easier. Maybe let's go around the table on that particular one. Stacey, what's your thoughts on using taxis? What's your experiences been?
Well, because I live in London, I never get taxis because they're really expensive.
Don't bother with them.
I can't afford them. But when I come to Scotland, I love a dual taxi, I have to say. I love getting in a taxi. They're very helpful. You get to, from A to B, and you get a lot of great banter. So I'm a taxi fan.
Okay, Sarah, what's your view on taxis?
I've had some good experiences. I came to London the other week to see a theatre show, and there's a lovely taxi driver, really talkative, said if it goes over £10, I'm not charging you ladies. And he wouldn't do it, and that's a good experience. I've had other experiences saying, I don't want to take your dog, it's dirty, it's going to put hair all over the chairs and whatever, but that's a small amount of people. Majority of people are very friendly, very helpful, and it's a good way to travel.
I've had mixed experiences, but most of them have been fabulous with taxi drivers. I mean, obviously, I have a guide dog myself. I think the worst taxi driver discussion or bit of banter that I had with the taxi driver was in terms of guide dogs, because I was thinking of doing my study on guide dogs in religious places, so I thought I'd test it out and asked him, as a Muslim, how do you feel about guide dogs? Not actually realising that Muslims don't generally allow your guide dog in their taxi. And he said, well, I say Muslim, the real technical phrase is Islamic, but you know, he'd said that basically he doesn't really understand why they allow them in restaurants either. And that if it was up to him, that they wouldn't have them in a restaurant either. So, you know, I'm glad that we've started, you know, standing down on what the rules are for taxis, because, you know, I'm all up for religious tolerance, but there are points where you have to put your foot down and say, look, I'm really sorry, but, you know, you're a minority, so is this population a minority? So where do we draw the line? And I'm glad that we're starting to draw that line now. So much so that I actually think that in public places like taxis and churches and other places like restaurants, we have that freedom to go with our dogs.
Well, I would say, though, Alex, is I think it's an interesting point you bring up, but I think it's also fair to say that there are a lot of people who have been thrown out of taxis with guide dogs by people who are not Muslim.
I think
that's an interesting
distinction. I'm fully aware of that.
That's an interesting distinction, though, because, you know, this isn't a racial problem. This is an issue with people and dogs in their cars. And some people, appears to some of the stories that we've found that, you know, it's just down to, oh, I just don't like dogs, so I don't want you in my car. Or I don't want, you know, a blind person in their hair, shedding dog in my car. You know?
Yeah.
Anyone else got a view on that one?
I was just wondering about, you know, because correct me if I'm wrong, Alex. I mean, the taxi driver didn't actually ask you to get out of the car. You know, he was taking you in his taxi.
Very, very kind.
And the only thing I would say is, from your story, I mean, you did ask his opinion. You asked him what he thought of having guide dogs. And I suppose that as long as people are entitled to their opinion, I suppose, and as long as they don't, you know, deny you a service, then they can dislike your dog and they can say, well, I don't think it should be allowed in restaurants. As long as it doesn't create a barrier, then I guess, you know, it is an opinion. That's my only thought on that.
Yeah, we've all worked with people we may not necessarily want to socialise with, but
exactly.
It doesn't stop us turning up at work.
Exactly. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have your opinions, because you should. I'm just saying that, you know, it's an interesting social mobility perspective, as in, what we'd allow and what we wouldn't allow. You know, at the end of the day, attitudes to guide dogs vary from country to country as well.
Okay.
And just from people to people. So.
Okay, let's bring in Sarah Ledbetter on this one, just to give us your view on this.
So I've had one person taxi, it wasn't actually any race or religion, it was a white taxi firm, and they said, oh, we don't want a guide dog, and they didn't turn up, and it's only because we rang them up to find out where they were, and they said, oh, you moved from where you was, says, no, we never moved, and when they finally came to pick us up, I didn't get back to home until about just before 12 o'clock, and other times I've tried to clean the taxi outside my house, but like you say, it's good to have the discussion and to find out what people's opinions are, but as long as it don't stop you going in restaurants and doing things that you need to do on a regular basis, because you need that guide dog to take you places and to give you independence.
So to wrap up what has been, I think, a very frank discussion, and I thank you for putting your opinions forward, what would be the one thing that you would want to happen that could make getting around from A to B just that little bit easier, based on all the experiences you've had? Stacey, I'll start with you.
Interestingly, it sort of goes against a point that Alex made earlier, but I would like to see an improvement in air travel. I think that would be a great thing, because for me, I find that there's far too much, there's far too many occasions where, you know, you turn up and sometimes I'm traveling with someone sighted and I don't need any assistance, but they insist that I need to tell them, that they need to tell the pilot that I'm on board. I don't know why that would be. And I've had other occasions, many occasions, and I'm sure people can relate to this, where they absolutely insist you must go in a wheelchair. And then you have to have that argument. Maybe you've had a 10-hour flight and you have to have this discussion about, well, I don't need a wheelchair, I'm perfectly capable of walking. And I think there's still a lot more work needs to be done around airline and making sure that they're accessible to everybody and that you have a pleasant experience, because, you know, it certainly costs enough for you to use them, so you want to enjoy it.
Mm, okay. Alex, Mackie, what do you think?
Guys, the taxi firms, do us a favour. If you know the taxi driver in question does not like or want to have a dog in their car, do not send them. Because it's not fair on them and it's not fair on us.
Okay.
And that's about it, really.
Okay, thank you for that. And Sarah Ledbetter?
Taxi drivers, again, because some of them think they can charge extra because you've got a guide dog. And also sometimes, yes, I think the assistance on trains is really, really good, but my own station, they never bother to phone through and let poor the end station know that I'm going to be there. And I turn up and nobody meets them, which is no fault of their own. So better communication between the different stations that are actually offering the assistance for train travel.
Okay, well, again, thank you for your frank opinions and views, because I think it will raise a lot of conversation, as it should. That's what it's about here on the Weekly Connect. It's, you know, your views, no topic off limits. If you've got something to say, this is the place to say it. And we appreciate that from Sarah Ledbetter, Stacey Rowe and Alex Mackie. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
The Weekly Connect. The Weekly Connect. On RNIB Connect Radio.